to a special Union Craft Brewing Showcase episode of...
Brutal Battle.
Yes, so people who are from Maryland most definitely will know Union Craft Brewing. And yes, most of the times people just say Union Brewing. I know I have before. But it technically is Union Craft Brewing. They are out of Baltimore. They actually just recently moved to a much larger facility. And this is a brewery that I feel like... I always felt like we were going to get to this showcase, but then we just decided, hey, let's do it. We happen to have one of the beers already anyway, because Rebecca brought it home and was like, I want to have this on hand to drink, which I'm going to, right up front, spoiler people, we are not drinking their Skipjack for this episode.
Oh, man.
I wanted to, trust me, Skipjack is one of my go-to beers these days. I like it a lot. It's their Pilsner, but I'm... decided not do it because we had it on an episode. Actually, the Union beer dinner that we had at Uncle's Hawaiian Grinds restaurant, people go back and check out that episode if you haven't listened to it, because we talk about the food pairings with the beers, and it was an awesome time. But we drank some Skipjack Pilsner during that episode, so I was like, you know, we can't do it. We got to do other stuff. So we have four beers. And we're going to talk, but let's just jump into a beer immediately.
Oh my gosh.
I didn't want... Well, with the Graf Cidery episode last time, I got a good taste of what it's like to just sit and listen to someone and not drink beer.
Snooze fest.
So let's get it going. So this is one of the year-round offerings by Union, and it is their Anthem Golden Ale. They say it's an all-American classic on here, and it's 5% alcohol.
I remember having this, but it's been a long time.
Yeah, it's been like, a long time for me as well on this.
I can't even tell you the last time I had it. It might have been when we saw the documentary Brewmore.
Brewmore Baltimore?
Yeah.
Did you drink it then?
I don't know.
Huh. Okay.
In my mind, I did.
In your mind, you did. Okay.
Which,
I mean, they were in that documentary.
I don't know if you're going to talk about the documentary, but
so go ahead.
If you haven't seen it, check it out, because Union's featured in it, and some of the other local, I forget who
else. I remember, it's Heavy Seas, Union, Stillwater, which is not from Baltimore anymore. Originally was from Baltimore, but Brian Strumke actually moved to New York. So he's out of New York now. And there was... Oh, and Homebrewer, I believe.
Okay.
I think that was it.
But it tells... I didn't realize what a rich beer history Baltimore had.
Oh, yeah.
And which, super cool.
Which, actually, when I talk about Union, there's a few facts about Baltimore that I wanted to throw out there that I found when I was reading an article about Union Brewing that was just kind of like extra research that someone threw in there. So it's pretty cool. So, let's talk about this American Anthem. It looks like a golden ale.
It's pretty yellow.
Oh, and pretty much solely cans for Union. They mainly just do canned beer. They do a bottle here and there. Like, I know they put their Chessy, which is their barley wine, in a bottle, and their barrel-aged version of the Chessy. But other than that, I don't think they've been doing bottles. It's pretty much all 12-ounce or 16-ounce cans. So anyway, it looks very yellow, very clear. It's a golden ale.
I'm going to have to just, like, stick my nose in the glass because I just washed my hands with that new soap we got.
Oh, yeah.
And it's very pungent.
So, to me... Oh, go ahead.
Oh.
I want to see what you're going to say because I think you might say the same thing as me.
I'm going to say biscuit.
Okay. I was just going to say that it reminds me a little bit of the smell on Skipjack.
Skipjack. Yeah. I want to say, like, biscuity.
There's a biscuity. There's a slight lemon note on there. There's
like
nice
straw hay.
Exactly. Straw and hay. It smells very clean.
Yep.
It smells like not a super amount of flavor, just very, like, subdued, probably very easy drinking type beer, which it's a golden ale, so.
I'd like to have this next to the Skipjack.
Mm. Too bad we actually don't have any Skipjack right now. That is sad, though.
I'm getting more sweetness on the taste. Like, I'm getting a lot of honey.
Yeah. Yeah, there is a decent amount of honey. That's a big difference between this and Skipjack. Plus, you're not getting that, like, Pilsner yeast.
Yeah,
Pilsner malt flavor.
Yeah, I love that Pilsner. This is good, though.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good, easy drink.
Super easy.
It has more of a mouthfeel than I thought it was going to.
Mm-hmm. But it also kind of falls off your palate relatively quickly as well. You definitely get that hay. You get that little hit of lemon, like you were saying. You get a good amount of honey to it. But you also get that biscuity note that you were talking about smelling. Nice, easy beer. This is a good transition beer for people, in my opinion. So, let me start with a little bit of information. And we have when they were founded. Founded in 2011 by Kevin Blodger, Adam Benish, and John Zarevitz. The actual brewing started in 2012. Now, it's interesting because I remember I was, at the time, big into craft beer. And we were... Let me think about that. We were about to start doing this podcast, basically. And my mom handed me an article from the Baltimore Sun saying, have you heard about this? There's this craft brewery that's going to be opening in Baltimore. And it was an article about Union Brewing, their concept and how they're going to be opening. And I remember my reaction being, I know there are a lot of breweries that are starting to crop up. So
that was your reaction then?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Because now it's...
Yeah, now it's even more exaggerated than that. It's insane. So it's funny for me to remember that, like, being very blasé about it, and then think of it now, like, I quite like the brewery. I mean, I've talked about it in a positive way quite a bit. So, like I said, started in 2012. The main idea of the brewery is that beer is something that unites. The beer itself is a unity of the ingredients coming together to make that wonderful flavored drink. And the guys coming together to create the company was a unity for them coming together, good buddies, and also what they hope to do with the community. Bring the community together, make it very Baltimore-centric, and unite Baltimore community around these beers.
And I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but I think that's kind of really, they accomplished that with their new space.
Yes. Yeah. And we'll talk more about that, which we've been to, so we can give you our take on what's there in addition to the research material. So I did want to throw out real quick, really cool thing. This is a known thing, amongst people who go to Union. Adam's grandfather, his name's Zadie. He works for them. He is there working constantly. He folds the boxes, and he's 98 years old.
Is this still true?
Yes, yes.
Is this current information? Yeah,
this is current information. Zadie still works for Union Brewing.
What source is this?
I've seen a few articles about it. I've seen some stuff on the internet.
Okay, because how do we know this isn't fake news?
Well... You know, I guess you never truly know.
No. That's going to be a sad day when he is no longer there.
I'm going to bet a lot of people have said that. That's what I'm betting.
98, good for him.
So real quick, before we go to our next beer, I actually just wanted to throw out the little tidbits that I found out about Baltimore, like I was saying while I was doing this research. So apparently, Baltimore is where the bottle cap was patented in 1829. That may have been in that documentary.
Yes,
but
I think this sounds familiar.
It's been so long.
It has
been a while. It's tough. The other big thing is that the American Can Company opened up in Canton, and they canned the first beer in the United States. The first canned beer was in Baltimore. Well, Canton, which is a subdivision of Baltimore, kind of.
That's a neighborhood in the city.
Mm-hmm. That's probably a better way to put it.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah, look at that. Rich beer history, Baltimore. Oh, and on the topic of that Brewmore Baltimore, we did do a review of it, so you can go back in back episodes and find that. You can search that on the website, by the way. There is a search function.
And we also had an interview.
Yes, and we did an interview with the guys who made it. Also, I, like, seeing that documentary, I didn't realize how many breweries there used to be in Maryland. Well, in the Baltimore area, specifically. And I was, like, shocked. But anyway, check that out.
I kind of want to watch that now.
Yeah, I've been wanting to rewatch it. We'll do it. Digital Cave Media. Those guys did a good job. All right, let's move on to our next beer. This is one that I've been up and down on, actually, as I've had it. I've had it a few times. This is their Black Wing Lager. It's a black lager, or it's more like a Schwarz beer. And it is 4.8% alcohol.
Hmm.
So, we got two lower ABV beers.
Well, yeah. Number three will be, too.
Yeah, third one. And the fourth one is where the ABV steps up, although it's not going to be crazy. So, all right.
So what makes it a black lager?
The malts. The roast, they use like roasted malts.
Okay.
That's where the coloration comes from. And a lot of the darker flavor notes is from the, like the real roasted malt. They could be using black patent malt. They could be using chocolate malt, you know, whatever. Okay. So what does it look like? It looks pretty dark.
Yeah.
You can see like a brownish reddish around the edges, but
I mean, yeah, it's dark. It looks, yeah, you could tell me it's a porter. I believe you.
Yeah, no, that's true. I would believe that. Or just a regular stout. I mm-hmm. could believe that, too. But it has, like, a nice kind of light tan head sitting on the top.
Yeah, it's a very light tan, though. Yeah.
But you can see it. So what do you smell?
Yeah, I'm getting... I just smells malt. Like...
Right. It's like that very distinct roasted malt scent.
It's like you go on any, like, standard brewery tour, and they give mm-hmm. you the malt, and they say, smell it. And that's what this beer smells like.
So, actually, I smell a very slight chocolate.
Okay. I was going to also say chocolate, dry, very dry, and also chalk.
Yes. Dry, chalky. I also get a very slight coffee.
Coffee?
Roasted coffee. Sure. Either way. And I also get a very, very, very light licorice in there.
I can agree with you on everything except the licorice.
It's there, buddy. Well, let's see if it's in the flavor. Let's try it. Pretty easy. Very easy.
Oh, yeah.
So these types of beers are really like, you know, no better word, warning, expletive. They're kind of like a mind fuck.
Oh my gosh. Okay, Carlin. This is so weird. I took a sip, and literally in my mind, I was like, this is a mind-fucking beer.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I can't say it on the podcast. Carlin doesn't like the F word. And then you said it.
Well, but I mean, we do have an explicit tag, and that has always been on the podcast. So we have the ability to swear on it. I usually don't like to unless it actually adds.
Yes, and it's it's amazing how much color influences your taste. So you see a dark beer and you're expecting it to taste a certain way.
Yes.
And when it doesn't, you're like, what the?
Well, I mean, it's, if you were trying this blind, you would be very confused. You'd be like, oh, that's just a extremely thin porter or a really thin, not well done stout. But if you know that it's actually a black lager, you can see, oh, this makes sense because I get like that that look like super roastiness in there, but it finishes super clean like a lager and it's light like a lager, but you can get those, you know, really mm-hmm. roasty malt notes. But are you tasting anything other than that?
No.
I get that little bit of coffee. I get that slight bit of chocolate.
Are you getting the licorice?
I'm gonna try it again just to see.
It's kind of like when you have like a golden stout. You're like, ah.
No, I don't really taste the licorice.
Yeah.
But it does have a little bit of a chalkiness.
Oh, yeah.
This is nice.
Yeah, easy.
Like, I like it. It's an easy beer, but not quite easy beer. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's easy-ish, and I mean, like
you have
that.
You have to be able to like the malt.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's...
Yeah, if you're not a heavy malt person, you're not going to be a fan. But I like it. It's good beer. Pretty solid.
Well, I'm going to sip on this while you edumacate me.
And the other thing is, actually, you don't find people making Schwarz beers barely at all.
Yeah.
So it's nice. And this, they've been doing this beer for quite some time. And it's year-round. So anyway, so their new facility, they had an old facility that was near something called Woodbury Kitchen, which is a really awesome restaurant, kind of like a little bit higher class area, small area in Baltimore. And then they needed to become larger. They needed a lot more space so they could do a lot more, produce a lot more. So they move to this new building that they're calling the Union Collective.
Which is really not far from where they were.
No, it's not. But
just on the other side of the highway.
Well, but that's good because then they can keep bringing in the people they were initially bringing into their tap room, which was really small and very uncomfortable. And they can bring all those people in still, and they can bring in even more and be a lot more comfortable for people. But so the whole idea behind this Union Collective building is it's a very large building that actually used to be a old Sears Roebuck factory. And they took it over, and they're not occupying the whole thing. It's very large. It's actually, all in all, it is 138,000 square feet. I think that's the entire building. And the project, the entire thing to put together, was $14 million to do it. So that's a lot of dough. And the whole idea is, when they say it's a collective, they're trying to put a bunch of other companies in there. Bunch of other stores. At the moment, I think the only other one that's actually there is, I forget what it's called, but it's like a rock climbing wall company where you can go and like do rock climbing. So I guess you can.
I think the ice cream place is there.
I don't know if it's open yet. At least is going to be one. You might be right though. Might already be open.
There's supposed to be a local ice cream place as well as the coffee roaster.
Yeah, there's going to be a coffee roaster. There's also going to be a distillery in there.
Oh, that's interesting.
As well as a pizza company.
Okay.
So all these things, except the rock climbing, kind of fits with drinking beer. Especially, how cool is it going to be the fact that they'll have a coffee roaster and a distillery right there?
Yeah. Well, and the coffee roaster, cool. Which is Vint?
Yeah,
Vint. Vent?
Vint.
That's the coffee they use in their snow pants?
Yeah, I believe. No, pajama pants.
Pajama pants. Okay, one of their pants.
Yeah, we'll end up talking about that one. So it's a cool idea. It's kind of a place where people can get a lot of different things. And if you think about it, the food stuff in particular is going to be great because people are going to drink a bunch of beers and be like, oh, I could really go for some ice cream. Oh, I could really go for some pizza. Or I need to sober up a little bit. I could really go for some coffee.
Yeah.
You know? Or, hey, I just had a little bit of beer. Now I'd really like some spirits. You can go to the distillery. So it's a great concept. It's really, really cool. So in their actual portion, the other thing is they have a lot of parking. And they have a lot more parking than they used to. It's a nice big parking lot. I like it.
Their old space, though.
Yeah, but it was so small. And the tap room was so uncomfortable.
I feel like that was part of the charm.
Well, okay.
You know.
I mean, I could see that, but at some point, you gotta move on, you know? Especially if you want to get more of their beer. And that's my big hope, is that with all this extra space, because they now have a 60-barrel brew house with 180-barrel fermenters, which basically has tripled their production ability. And my hope with that is that we mainly have only been able to get their core beers, their season, their year-round stuff, and some of their seasonal stuff here and there. And then, like, one of their small-batch beers, because it's very popular. But they do a ton of different experimental stuff and seasonal stuff and small-batch stuff that I would love to start being able to see. And I'm hoping that this production ability increase will kind of bring that to us. But
I just have, like, such mixed feelings on that, though, because part of the allure of going to a brewery is to get stuff that you can't get.
Well, I'm sure, I'm sure they'll continue with that. I mean, pretty much every brewery still does that. They still keep certain things that you can only get there. Yeah. But, you know. So, on the inside, they actually have 12 taps up front. They have 8 taps on the side, which I don't remember seeing
those. Side?
I don't remember seeing them when I was there. But
maybe that wasn't open.
That was a description. That's possible, because there was a portion where there was a large section of the wall cut out, and there was like a tarp over it.
Yes.
And I think the pizza place comes through there. Yeah. And so there might be taps and with pizza. The pizza.
Okay, that would make more sense.
So that would be 8 more there. And then they're also going to have, this was not open either when we were there, 6 taps outside in a shipping container bar. I saw the shipping container where we were there, but it was closed. And they just had like artwork on the outside of it. But that's what it's going to be. That's going to be an outside bar to service all that seating outside.
Okay, this is making more sense.
Yeah. So when we were there, everything wasn't done.
Right. And we were also there. Well, it was weird because we were there on, it was a Saturday night.
Yeah.
And what's, I don't know if I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but.
Yeah, kind of, but that's fine.
What struck me as odd about the space was the bar is small.
Yes.
Now that I know there's going to be multiple places to get beer, this makes a little bit more sense.
Yes.
But when we were there, it was like there is one kind of small bar for this gigantic space and this gigantic outdoor space.
Yeah.
And it's, and I had heard feedback from other people that it was hard to get a beer when they were there. And that's not good.
Well, but based off of what I'm reading here, it should
improve.
Once they're done, yeah. Like done, it should be better. Like they're open now, but it's not done. So, do you want to talk about that more or drink the next beer and then talk about our experience there?
Whatever you want.
Let's pop this beer.
Okay.
And then we'll continue to talk.
I mean,
the only other thing I wanted to say about it, in this portion is that their design was inspired by Trogues Brewing. Trogues Independent Brewing in Hershey.
Really?
Yeah, that's what the article said. Like, I see it a little bit, but I don't... But I also think it's kind of, like, real loose.
I mean, their space is not different than a large majority of breweries you go to.
Right.
Yes. Like...
Except they have a few... unique things thrown in there that we'll talk about.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to talk about it now while you crack this.
Okay. So, our next one is one of Rebecca's favorites that Union does. It's their Old Pro. It's a Goza, and I like that it says on here, a dash of salt, a touch of tart. And the
true.
ABV is, I know it's low. I think it's like 4.8 or something. Can I freaking find it? 4.2. Okay. So, Old Pro. Here we go.
But what is cool, I think, that is unique about the space is they have a little camper on the inside that you can, like, go in and drink beer. They also have...
Real quick, apparently there's a photo booth in there.
Oh.
Yeah. That's what I was reading.
We didn't go in there.
No, we didn't.
Well, because there were a lot of people, like, just hanging out on that.
Yeah, people were chilling in that.
Two skee ball machines.
Mm-hmm.
And there was another little... Was it... I don't know what.
It's like an automated, like, bowling game where it like, has the pins, like, on kind of, like, ropes so that when you knock them down, it just, like, picks it up and then it'll, like, reset it easily.
There was another little video game table there.
There was something else.
I don't
remember what it was.
And they had some board games, but I will say their selection of board games was lacking.
Rebecca really likes to rate breweries on their board game selection, so...
Well, because I feel like this is John Taffer from Bar Rescue. The longer you keep people there...
Yeah, how are you going to keep them around?
The more they're going to drink.
So, real quick, name for me right now some of the better breweries with board games.
I mean, they're not around here.
I know, but I'm just saying.
Twin Leaf in Asheville.
Yeah, I'd say that.
Triple Crossing in Richmond.
Sure.
And Black Flag in Columbia, Maryland.
Yeah. Yep. I'd agree with that. I forgot the Triple Crossing one actually had it, but yes, I would agree with the other two for sure.
Okay.
Let's look at this Old Pro. It's been a while since I've had an Old Pro.
Yeah.
Not you. You had it a few months ago, at least.
A straight up one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You took some to the beach.
I don't think I actually drank
it
at the beach.
Okay. All right.
Or if I did, I don't remember.
Well, it looks like a Goza.
It's yellow. It's a little hazy.
Yeah, yellow, hazy. It definitely looks like a Goza.
Well, this weekend we had tea time.
We did.
With raspberry, which is like a variant of this.
Yeah, so tea time, I'll talk about it more later, but tea time is the Old Pro, but they use botanicals is what they say, which literally is tea.
Yeah.
Like they use different flavored teas to steep in the...
So good.
Yeah, and we had one with boysenberry, I think. Was it boysenberry?
What are you talking about?
Yeah, the tea time we had. Wasn't it boysenberry?
It was raspberry.
Oh, was it the red raspberry one?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I was confused.
You must have been already pretty far gone.
No, not at that point.
I was like, how do I remember?
Not at that point.
Okay, so it smells salty. It smells tart.
Oh, yeah. A little wheat.
I'm getting
smell.
Some lemon.
Plenty of lemon.
Yeah.
It smells a little bit soft, though, because of the salt. That smells really good. It smells really good. Mm.
Oh, like, God.
It's,
I know.
Like, the tartness is definitely there, but it's so easy. It's so soft. Just, it's got a nice medium mouthfeel to it. It's got, like, that little bit of salinity at the end, and you know, you can just tell that the salt is softening the beer and kind of, like, rounding out that tartness. Lemon, wheaty.
I know. I feel like some people compare, like, Old Pro to Dogfish Head's Sea Quench.
They're pretty different.
And I also, and I'm like, I see some similarities, but they're also so different.
They are so different. And I would say one of my big observations on that, doing that comparison, is that I like Sea Quench a lot, by the way, but I think that Old Pro is more smooth.
Yeah, I agree. I think for a beer that I want to kind of keep going back to and that I could drink no matter what my mood would be, it would be Old Pro.
Yeah, like the tartness is a little softer. It's more smooth as a beer. It's got a little bit more of a creamy mouthfeel to it. Yeah, this is one of their most popular beers.
It's so good.
It's
can is just fun because it has like little mini golf.
Yeah, and like Baltimore-centric stuff. They do a lot of Baltimore-centric stuff. They're all about Baltimore.
And I think that's super cool.
I think so.
You know, all the variants we've had of Old Pro, like their Older Pro.
The Tea Time,
you know, they're all just awesome.
And I'll talk a little bit more about that later as well.
And I think it's also fun because, to me, it's a rarity that you have a variant of a beer and the variant is just as good as the standalone Old Pro. You know what I mean? Like, Pro is awesome by itself and you add things to it and I like them all for various reasons.
Well, I would actually say that in my opinion, for my taste buds, every variant of Old Pro I've had is better than regular Old Pro.
Yeah.
So they're really just taking it and saying, oh, this is a really good beer, but we can make it better many times in different ways.
In different ways, yeah.
And that's what's cool.
Yeah.
So anyway, our experience at the new Union Collective. So there are some bad that we experienced while there, but mainly we'll talk about good stuff, which I think we kind of already did, like how it was laid out.
I feel a lot of the quote bad stuff is also because they weren't really in full operation.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
Probably.
So like, I feel like to do our due diligence, we need to go back.
Sure.
And well, one, we just need to go back, and two, really just to kind of get a full flavor of what it's going to offer.
So the big bad thing, in my opinion, was the acoustics are bad in there. So even if you just have a bunch of people in there talking, it's going to get really loud really fast. But what made it even worse is it was a Saturday night and they had big speakers in there and they were like blaring music. Like, I'm not talking they were just like playing music. It was blasting and it was like deafening.
Well, and the weird thing was, it was like, we were there with Carlin's sister and her boyfriend, and I remember your sister saying, like, it's weird because it's like club music.
Yes.
And if people want to go out and listen to that type of music, they're not going to come here. They're going to be going somewhere to dance. It just was like a little interesting.
I didn't like it. It was off-putting for me. I don't like it when acoustics are bad in a place and they intentionally are creating loud noise. So that's a big thing for me. I hope that they kind of like tone it down with the noise. Maybe that's not typical. Maybe it was a situation where, you know, a particular bartender got their hands on the controls that night and they were just like, this is what I want to do. And, you know, maybe it's not typical and I hope that's the case. The other thing is, I don't know if they will because a lot of breweries don't, but it would be cool if they would look into getting some stuff in there that would kind of dampen the sound.
Yeah.
Because it can be really rough on the ears. Like, real rough on the ears.
And that's, like, yeah, that's a common...
That's the main bad thing. The only other bad thing is something they really can't control. And that's that, you know, we wanted to go outside and have some drinks and you just have, like, a ton of people smoking.
Yeah.
And I'm very sensitive to smoke. I actually have asthma. And people smoking can kind of set my asthma off a little bit and make it kind of hard for me to breathe. So, can't really be around that. But, like I said, it's not, that's not Union's fault. That's just people smoke. It's a thing.
It's a thing.
Yeah. So, pretty much that's it for the bad. We already talked about the good, though, with, you know, that cool photo booth trailer thing there. The games that were there. Both, you know, like the arcade type.
Yeah.
And boardwalk they had some games.
Cool merchandise.
Yes.
They had like regular shirts. They had hats. They had tote bags. They had like sunglasses, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
You know, obviously they have all their beers to go. We were able to get a lot of their sours.
Yeah, actually all of them. All of their main sours. They have a main sour line that's three of them. The one is Fraggle Rock, which is a strawberry rhubarb kettle sour. Then you have the Six Stone, which is a... Third Stone.
Apricot. Why'd
I
get that?
I doubled it. Maybe I want an Imperial Virgin. Ooh, that sounds good. Imperial Virgin.
And then
Kevin Blodger, if you hear this. A Six Stone, an Imperial Apricot Kettle Sour.
Yeah.
Do it. Yeah, so the Third Stone is just regular. And then the... Pink Flamingo. Yeah, Pink Flamingo is my favorite. It's a grapefruit ginger kettle sour. Really good. So the versions we had of all those were oak aged. Good beers.
Mm-hmm.
Good beers.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. I was a fan.
And then we also had...
There's Zeph, which is a like West Coast style IPA, which
was
nice. I really enjoyed
that.
And
then something...
Hasselbrow.
Yes.
Which
was all I could think of was Hasselhoff.
Well, because there's a picture of Hasselhoff. But it was Hasselbrow, which is their Hefeweizen.
Yeah, and that was, I like that
a
lot.
It was a nice Hefeweizen. Yeah, no, it was nice. But the beers are really good. That's one of my big things about Union. Beers are really good. The space is really large. It's probably going to be really nice once the pizza is available.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be cool. I think the container bar outside is going to be pretty awesome. Although, who knows if I'll really be able to participate in that with people smoking, but, you know. But, yeah, I mean, they have a cool, like, Baltimore feel.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it was nice. Yeah. All the bartenders were nice.
Mm-hmm.
So, good staff. Yeah. People walking around, making sure you're all right.
Yeah. Yeah, that was nice.
Cleaning up and everything. So, yeah, good peeps.
Okay. Ready for the last one?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So, our last one is their Double Duck Pen. Which is their double IPA.
This is the beer that really put them on the map. Really put them on the map.
It's 8.5%.
Yeah, that's the high one. So, as people may know, if you're familiar with Union, you know they have their pale ale, which is Duck Pin. And then not
Is it pale
too long.
Ale or just IPA?
It's a pale ale.
Oh, it is.
Not an IPA.
Oh.
So, they had Duck Pin. And people really like Duck Pin, and then they jumped. They didn't do an IPA for Duck Pin. They just jumped to this double Duck Pin and went Imperial IPA. And I remember when this first came out, trying it and just being like, oh my gosh. Although I've had it since, and there have been a few iterations. Like, batches are different, and sometimes they change the recipes. They tweak them here and there. So, like, the first few batches I had were, I was just like, oh my god. And then I remember having a batch or two where I was like, it's still really good, but it's not the same.
Yeah.
So we'll see how this is. But this one's only been in the can less than a month.
Not even a month.
Even a month. So this is really fresh.
It's yellow-orange-ish.
Yeah. Little hazy. Little hazy. But I can kind of see some stuff through it.
Smells delicious.
Ooh.
Lots of citrus notes. Pineapple.
Ooh, yeah. Pineapple mango in there, orange, a little tangerine. It's just like a citrus and tropical explosion.
It just smells like a smoothie.
Yeah.
You know, lots of those fruity flavors. I mean, I'm...
That's like a deliciously intoxicating nose. Yeah. Just
it smells really good.
I love, love, love beers that smell like this. And,
and it smells a little sweet. Like it smells like you're going to get a little syrup characteristics.
It smells like a slight touch of like a caramel on the end of it, which always excites me with IPAs.
Okay. I took my first sip. I'm tasting a little more pine.
That's what I remember about it. So the recipe, when I remember thinking, oh man, I think they changed the recipe, I noted that there was a lot more pine to it than there had been. Because it used to be like very, very citrus and tropicality driven, which obviously it still is on the nose, but there's a lot of pine in the flavor.
Hmm.
That kind of folds in with it's a little bit syrupy. So it kind of folds in with that, like pine and syrupy, makes it a little resinous. That's how it goes. A nice beer.
Did you have on your talking points what just came out on social media today about them?
I didn't write it down, but I knew we were going to talk about it. So you can just go ahead.
Okay. Well, it's funny because Carlin texted me today saying, like, did you see this? I'm like, yeah. So they Union posted on social media today that they're going to, I think, sounds like kind of crack down on, like, their kid policy.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically that they're not going to allow children in after 6 o'clock.
Yeah, they were calling it Adult Swim, which I think is awesome. That's great. Yeah, every day they're open. 6 p.m. is the cutoff. Kids can be there until 6 p.m. and then it's adults only. Because apparently they are having a problem with parents not watching their kids while they were there and letting them, as they put in it, run amok.
Yeah.
And apparently there was damage being done to their property. Yep, there was damage done to the property, I think, to some of the games. Yeah, so they worded it very well, and they were kind of like, you know, we really want to find a way to make this work, but this is the problem. So this is the solution we came up with.
Right.
So still bring your kids, but once it's 6 o'clock, stop. So
Well, because I'm thinking, you know, at 6 o'clock, then they are probably getting busier, which means they're not going to be able to supervise the kids.
True.
And it's kind of like,
well, they said in it, their staff can't supervise these kids.
No.
Well, and, yeah. But I think it's good, and I think all breweries should do it kind of like that, because that allows you the ability for, if you don't want to have kids around when you're going to a brewery, you know what time you can go, you know?
Yeah.
Like, there's that specific time. And then if you are fine with kids being there, or if you want to take your kids there, you have a specific time you can go.
Well, and this was this morning, so it was probably shortly after they posted it. And I was reading through the comments, and, like, almost everybody was okay with it. Mm-hmm. Like, even people who had kids said, you know, we are local, we take our kids, but we, of course, always supervise them. You know, and it was kind of like, it's not going to impact us going, because there's still plenty of other hours we can go.
Yeah.
And truth be told, by 6 o'clock,
kids should be getting ready for bed.
Well, I don't know about that, but, like, you know, it's
in my mind,
it's kind of winding down on their day, I guess. Yeah. I could say. But I was going to say, beyond the kids, I don't mind kids so much as at breweries as much as I do.
Here comes dogs.
Dogs.
we talked about it on one.
But that's another thing, but yeah.
We'll have just like an entire episode where you can rant about dogs at breweries and how kind of ridiculous it is.
I really want to like rent a snake or something and walk in with a snake and see what happens.
I kind of feel like people would be cool with it.
A scorpion? A tarantula?
Well, that might be a little different. Yeah, maybe.
What if I just took my hamster in a little ball?
People would actually think that's awesome, I think. I think people would be like, that's great. Seriously. Okay, so let me go ahead and do my final bit where I talk about some of the beers that they're producing. So the year-round beers for Union, the Anthem Golden Ale, the Black Wing Schwartz Beer, the Duck Pin Pale Ale, and the Skipjack Pilsner. Everybody, if you can get your hands on that Pilsner, come on, do it. For their seasonal beers, one of my favorites, I love this beer. This is also a very rarely done style. It is their Balt Alt beer. Mm. Alt beers are so nice when they're done well, and that Balt is really, really nice. Then they do a Foxy Red IPA, their Miracle Weizenbach.
I don't know if I've ever had that.
Their Old Pro Goza.
Nice.
Their Rye Baby, which is a rye IPA. Their Snow Pants, which is an oatmeal stout. And their Steady Eddie, which is a wheat IPA. Then they have a ton of small batch beers. I actually showed Rebecca the list before we started recording because I wrote it all down. And she was like, you can't read off all of those.
It's too much.
And I think she's right. So I just picked some.
Well, you already talked about some of them.
Yeah, I did already talk about some, but I picked some. So apparently they just did a Brut IPA, which is a thing now.
Oh, right.
I'm not... Based on... I had one. Based on what I had, I was not happy with it. I'm not a fan of that style. But maybe a brewery does it in a way that I like it, so I'll try that.
Change his mind.
I would try the Union Brut IPA. I'd do it. They also recently did a 6-Up, which is a lemon-lime sour. That sounds good.
Ooh.
Yeah, right? Then they have their Zeph IPA, which we talked about. Their Hasselbrau Hefeweizen, which we talked about. Their Rumpus Room, which is an English-style smoked brown porter.
I just love the name.
Sounds good. Yeah, that's a good one. Their Coffee House, which is a German-style coffee brown ale.
That sounds delicious.
I know. I knew I was going to get a reaction from you on that one. Their Dust Rings, which is a double dry hopped sour beer, and apparently was pretty popular when it came out. Then they have their Older Pros that we talked about, right. And that's the wine barrel aged Old Pro. And they have a few different versions of that. These are all the versions they put out. They put out a blackberry, a peach, an Italian plum, a boysenberry, a mango, a blueberry, a pineapple, guava, passion fruit, red raspberry, apricot, cherry, and pomegranate.
Wow.
Which is a lot. And that's what I was saying. Like, they have this really good base beer, and they're like, man, we can do so many things with this. And that's what they've been doing. Talked about the Fraggle Rock. Talked about the Third Stone. Talked about the Pink Flamingo. Their AM Gold, which is a coffee cream ale.
So good.
I knew you wouldn't be able to stay silent when I said AM Gold. Yeah, it's awesome. Their Balt the More, which is their Stickle Alt. So it's basically
a Stickle Alt.
It's basically the imperial version of their Balt Alt beer.
Hmm.
And it is even tastier than the
You've
Balt.
Had it?
Oh, yes. I tried it at...
I had it?
No, I don't think so. I tried it on tap at Friendship Liquors.
Hmm.
So tasty. So tasty. Then I talked about their Chessy. They have that. It's a barley wine. And they have that. And they have it bourbon barrel aged. They did a beer called Blodgen Gooch. And it was a sour Vienna lager.
I don't think I would want to drink that.
I would totally drink that. Then they had a straight up cream ale called Clawhammer. I would definitely drink that. They had, this is a fun name, a double IPA called Cosmic Giggle. That's fun. Their Double Duck Pen that we're having. One that Rebecca's had, but I never had. Their Midnight Marauder Dark Sour.
Yes.
And it was good.
It was very good.
When she told me about it, she came home. She's like, I had this Midnight Marauder. And I was like, what is it? And she's like, Union did it. It's like a dark sour. I was like, that sounds awesome. And I'm jealous.
I'm not big into sours, but I love dark sours. They're definitely better.
So then, as we talked about, they have their Tea Time, which is the Old Pro done with different teas, or as they put it on their botanicals, is what they say on the can. And these are the different versions they've done. They did a peach, they did a wild berry, they did a tangerine, and they did a raspberry lemon.
That's what we have then,
raspberry lemon. That must have been what we have, is a raspberry lemon. Then they have their Pajama Pants, which is their snow pants, but with coffee.
Okay.
So a coffee oatmeal stout. Talked about Pink Flamingos on there. A beer called Tiny Elvis, which is a hoppy dark lager. The artwork for it is pretty funny. So, actually, everyone can just check out Union Craft Brewing's website. They have some pretty cool logos for their beers. Check them out. And then the last one I just want to throw out there, because I've had it before and it was really tasty, and I believe it was a collaboration with DC Brow. Yonder Cities, it was a farmhouse IPA.
Oh, that does sound familiar.
Really good. Yeah. I think I bought a 6-pack of it when it came out. It had like this crazy psychedelic can art. It was like neon blue and green and pink. It's awesome.
Ability to remember beer and labels is...
When you're passionate about something.
I don't remember anything. I'm like, did I have this before or not? I don't remember.
Yeah. So, yeah. I was pretty amped up for this episode. I mean, that's all the information. I was pretty amped up because I enjoy some Union, man.
Well, we should try to... Let's go back.
You know, and here's the thing. They don't do, like, a bunch of crazy beers. They're not one of those breweries that's like, oh my god, they're pumping out all these New England-style IPAs. Oh my god, they're doing so much barrel-aged stuff. Oh my god, they're doing so many sours. They're just doing what they kind of want to do, but all their beers are so clean.
Yeah.
And they're so well done as far as style. And they're just nice.
Yeah.
I'm a fan.
I don't think I've ever had a beer by Union that I'm like, I don't like this.
Yeah. And that's actually another good point is their consistency. They are very consistent.
Like you said about Double Duck Pen, there are some, you know, I think, you know, maybe they changed the recipe or maybe this, maybe that, that it's like, oh, I think I've had that is better, but it's never been bad. And
true.
Even the lineup here, I'm not like, I never felt like I wanted to dump any of their beers.
Never.
Or
ever.
Like, yeah, even though, yeah.
Yeah, now that you say it, like, we've had a good amount of their beers, and yeah, I've never been like, I don't like that. I've always been like, that's solid, to I really like that.
Yeah, you know, or, like, you can find good qualities about all their beer.
Yeah, you totally can.
Okay. I don't really know how I'm going to rate these.
It's tough. It's definitely tough, because they're very different. They're very different. And like I was saying, they're very consistent, too. So it's, oh, you're having more of the Black Wing, too, are you?
Mm-hmm. I need to figure out what I'm going to do with this.
Hmm.
Okay. I think I know.
Okay, go ahead.
I think I'm going to go Old Pro.
As your number one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Then Double Duck Pen.
Okay.
Then the Black Wing Lager, then Anthem.
Okay. Yeah. I have to agree with you. I'm there.
Really?
Yeah. Old Pro, Double Duck Pen, Black Wing, Anthem. What'd you think I was gonna do? Put the Double Duck Pen first?
I don't know what I can't control you. I have no idea what you're gonna do.
I gotta be honest though. I thought about putting the Black Wing ahead of the Double Duck Pen.
I did too.
Black Wing is friggin' tasty.
I did too. Not that it's really hard because they're all good. For different reasons. I'm just kind of like, what do I want to drink more of? And again, I've said it before, you know, it's just so hard to impress me with an IPA or a double IPA.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
You know, so when I have something like this Black Wing Lager, it piques my interest a little bit more because it's different. It's a different offering. So it makes me want to drink more of it.
Yeah. And how often are breweries doing Schwartz beers?
Right.
But the good thing is, you can get this year-round if you can get Union stuff. So
I mean, they are all good. We are not dumping any of these. We are going to probably fight and enjoy the rest of these.
The other thing is we're not getting hammered either. Because they're all, like, pretty low. I mean, the Double Duck Pen's 8.5, but that's not crazy. All the other ones are super low.
I'm already feeling pretty buzzed.
Really?
Yeah, we didn't eat dinner yet.
I'm not. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling fine. Yeah, good stuff. In summation, Union Brewing, very Baltimore. Union Brewing, very solid, very good.
If you're in the area, check them out.
Yes, definitely. Oh my god, which reminds me. So, one of my friends from Boston, after the fact, he was in Baltimore, and then told me after the fact he was in Baltimore, and where Union used to be, like literally if you're walking down this one road, you could turn right and go to Union Brewing, or turn left and go to Waverly Brewing, and they're like almost the same distance away. Actually, Union was a little closer. So he said he was in Baltimore for a wedding and they wanted to go to a brewery. And so they went to Waverly. And I was like, dude. I was like, you know, actually, I've never had any Waverly
beer.
Yeah. You have. You said it's decent.
Yeah. I mean, I would definitely go back. I mean, I definitely like Union better.
Yeah.
I can't say if that's just because I didn't have a lot of Waverly beers, right. But I would definitely steer people to Union.
But I was just like, first of all, you should have told me you were in town and asked me what brewery you should have gone to. And I would have said Union. And I said, literally all you had to do was turn the other direction.
Yeah.
And you would have been at Union. And he'd even said that he had like wanted to go to Union. And I'm like, so you were like there, you were like almost there. And you know, nothing against Waverly, but if people are coming into Baltimore and they're going to ask me like, I'm coming into Baltimore, what brewery should I go to? A lot of times I'm going to be like Union, man. Yeah.
Well, and now, you know, Union is just right out of kind of that Woodbury area, more towards like the Hamden neighborhood.
Yeah.
And they have such a rich food restaurant culture. They have, you know, the Food Market, Wicked Sisters. Cafe Hun, which is kind of a Baltimore icon. I mean, you can just...
Even though the owner's an a-hole.
Well, you can just walk up and down that main drag, and there's some little cute shops. Artifact Coffee is not too far, which has great coffee. Blue Pit Barbecue.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, definitely check it out.
Dude, I should have went back to this Anthem. This is a nice cold nail. God. Union.
Okay. Mm. I got to go preheat the oven and start cooking dinner.
I know. We have to go. I just want to keep talking about Union, but sorry.
We got to go.
We do. And we're going to finish these beers off. So, Kevin Blodger, Adam Benisch, John Zarevitz, if any of you guys hear this, know that we're down. And reach out if you want to give us some older pros, some tea time. You know, we would even do like a special episode of just tasting those beers on podcast.
We would do it
for no charge. Just give us the beers.
Anyway, on that note, please remember to
keep it brutal.
This has been a Nerd Circle podcast production.